Okay, let's put the TV set aside and focus on the other household appliances and hiccups. It's time to talk DIY with our regular guest, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management. Angelo, always great to have you on the show. Welcome back.
Hi, I love the intro. All the hiccups at home.
We don't have those. That's what you're here for, to help us solve. Angelo, they happen to all of us. So just to say, if you're having an at-home hiccup and you want to get some advice, now's your chance. Call us on 021-446-0567, or you can send your question for Angelo at 072-567-1567. It's a general segment today. We are going to start with a bit of a chat about artisan training, but we're happy to take your questions on absolutely any home maintenance and management project that's bothering you right now. Angelo, I wasn't on air last time you were with us last month, but I know that you and Zane had a very interesting conversation about the lack of skilled artisans in this country. And I believe a lot of listeners were phoning in, sharing their memories of having to do their trade test at Olifantsfontein to enter their particular trade. Fascinating how much response you got to that conversation.
It was amazing, because I think people realize that it is an essential. It is essential to have artisans, people who really know and believe and are passionate about what they're doing. And B, essential, because if we don't have people doing the work correctly, then everything is just damaged and broken and nothing will work properly, and you end up spending more money because you have to maintain more. So it's a ball that just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. So we have to stop it right in the beginning.
Now, the question of which facilities offer specialized artisan training was one you talked about at length, and you want to flag it's a new physical facility for a long in existence training organization up in Pretoria you want to tell us about today, Angelo.
Well, there's actually two. So Soltech is the one up in Pretoria, and they do things like auto mechanics, becoming a welder, diesel mechanics, fit and turner, and those are great trades. I mean, those trades, you know, you work with your hands. I know we don't appreciate them much, a lot in South Africa, but overseas, these artisans are sought after.
Yeah.
And I think these are phenomenal trades. And, I would love to do those just to do them, just to be able to add skill to my hands.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Soltech in Pretoria, the trade school run by Solidarity, our listeners may be familiar with the story. They opened up this brand new campus in Centurion. It's going to be having a residential component added further down the line. So there's an opportunity there to study focused on vocational training. Angelo, besides their facilities, who else is offering this kind of training in South Africa at the moment?
Well, I can give you two in Cape Town. We all know Laws Link, and they're more sort of on the construction side of things, plumbing, etc., and so forth. And you can go and you can do courses there with them. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one in Versantekraal, and it's called Checker, and that's part of the MBA system. It's a privately run facility, but if you're a member of the Master Builders Association, you can get special rates and stuff there. So that's another one, and that's close to us. That's close to home. For Versantekraal is close to home. So there are opportunities for us to develop our skill sets here, and I think we should be doing it. We should be grabbing it with both hands.
What about the False Bay colleges, Angela? They also offer various trade training, don't they?
Pippa, I would have to find out. I didn't go that way. I didn't have a look at that.
Okay, I think I'm right in saying that, but maybe somebody listening can give us a little bit more information, who's maybe gone there, studied there, or investigated what the availability is. So the bottom line, Angelo, is to remind everybody that A, these are essential skills, that B, they are always in demand and never out of demand, and C, that it really is worth valuing them and changing our perspective. As you said, too much of society sort of looks down on people who work with their hands instead of recognizing the absolutely vital role that those jobs play in keeping absolutely every single aspect of our society turning over smoothly. So thanks very much for helping to highlight that fact. Angelo, with that, we're going to move into our listener questions, if we may, but I'm happy to take further comment from anybody who wants to add to that conversation about artisan training. You're welcome to call us on 021-446-0567. Angelo, an email in during the week from Louise, who has an interesting problem. She's got a washing machine that is leaving strange marks on her laundry, even after it's been through the cleaning cycle. And she says she thinks it's probably dirt of some kind accumulating inside the pipes of the machine. Is there anything she can do to clean it from the inside?
Well, it's strange enough, Pippa. I don't know if you recall, we had this discussion a couple of months ago. There are two ways of doing it. First of all, you need to check whether it's actually not the water. Is it something new? Has it been happening? Or if it's something new, it might be something to do with the water. And there are filters available that you can connect to the pipe that will filter the water before it goes into the machine,
okay.
And then will give you that will sort of clean the water. However, the filters do get dirty, so you have to replace them. The second thing is on the inside. If there's a lot of stuff gets caught along the rubber of the door.
Yes.
And you need to clean that. And you can do that by doing a cycle with vinegar. And vinegar will clean and remove. And then also take the vinegar, soak it on a, you know, soak a cloth in vinegar and rub that rubber washer around the door and clean all that out, because there's a lot of gunk in there. And you know, sometimes there's coins and stuff inside there, or anything that could even rust and could give off rust marks on the clothes, etc. and so forth. And you see it especially on the white clothes.
Yeah.
And then the third and final, right at the bottom in the right-hand corner, at the bottom there's a little drawer that you can pull out. And sometimes all of that stuff gets clogged with hair, etc. and so forth. And that also needs to be cleaned. And then that's sort of, you've sort of given your washing machine a basic service, and that should help.
Okay, so a cycle with hot water and vinegar, wiping down physically the rubber seal, and then clearing out that drawer at the bottom of all the gunk. Louise, start there. If you're still struggling thereafter, it might be worth getting somebody out to take a look and identify whether there's something sort of deep-seated somewhere inside the machine or the pipes that is contributing to the issue. But maybe try those DIY solutions first and let us know how it goes. Thank you so much for your email. Okay, WhatsApp in from John, who says, we replaced our low-pressure geyser with a 40 kilopascal high-pressure geyser with the temperature at 60 degrees. Our electricity bill has shot through the roof. Will it help to reduce the temperature to 50 degrees, he wonders?
Well, I believe it will help. To a degree, because the problem you're having there, obviously, is that when you put in a geyser, and if it's not on a timer, it basically keeps topping itself up. So it stays at 60 degrees, then it gets cool, and it goes up again, etc. and so forth. So that is constantly fluctuating and trying to stay at 60 degrees, and that is a big cost. So check that it's on a timer. And if it's not, maybe put it on a timer and see what happens then. That should help.
Okay, thanks. Good luck, John. Let us know how it goes. All right, other questions on your WhatsApp, please, to 0725671567. You can send an SMS to 31567 or an email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. We've got a voice note that's come in, I think, responding to the question around the False Bay College courses. Let's just take a listen to that, Joe.
The False Bay colleges do offer trades, from electronics, so fixing of small items like microwaves, etc. I'm a photographer, and I've actually photographed some of the colleges and their students. They also up the west coast in Saldanha, there's a False Bay College, and I photographed quite a few of the ladies that were working there and learning the trade of welding. So some of them do more hands-on courses, and some of them do more study courses. It could be like marketing, photography, et cetera, et cetera. But they definitely do some of the trades. I know. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the feedback. And that's very interesting, the comment, and gratifying to hear that there are women enrolling in these kind of courses as well as men in good numbers. That's very encouraging to hear. Okay, Angelo, this is an interesting one. Joan wondering if you have any advice for creaky wooden stairs. And I really can relate to the meat of her message, because Joan says it's driving us mad. I have to leave for work very early in the morning, and no matter how softly I tread on our wooden stairs, they creak, and it always wakes somebody up. Is there anything that we can do to remove the creak? I can relate to the days when I did early morning news shifts and would creep around the house on my tiptoes at 4 a.m. Joan, so I know how frustrating it is. Angelo, do you know of any tips?
There is a DIY tip that I've heard of that I to be honest, I haven't really tried, but apparently it does work, or it has been successful, and I don't know the exact scenario. But apparently baby powder or chalk, if you grind up some chalk and you put it into those areas, then it relieves the squeakiness for a while. Basically what it is the pressure between the two pieces of between the wood.
Yeah.
As you're standing on it, it's moving and it's rubbing against something and it's going, it's making all those funny noises. And they're quite frustrating because they sound 10 times louder at 4 o'clock
in
the morning.
Of course they do, yeah.
And so by putting some chalk powder on there, that could help. But it all depends really on what, how the floor has been laid, et cetera, and so forth. That's the real issue there. In terms, if your floor is slightly uneven, then some sections of wood have more pressure than the other, and that's why you get squeaking. And it's especially common on staircases. But a trick you can do there, besides the chalk,
yep,
is to walk closer to the wall.
Okay.
The closer you are to the wall, if your staircase is coming from the wall, the closer you are to the wall, the less noise you have.
Okay. So hug the wall on the way down, Joan. Okay.
Hug the wall, yeah.
I wonder if anybody... yeah? Sorry, carry on.
Chalk does work, apparently. It's a system used to... that you put it into the grooves and the gaps, and it works its way in because it's so fine, and then gives you some relief from that sound.
Okay, thank you. If anybody's tried it and wants to give us some feedback on whether it worked or not, we'd love your feedback with a voice note to 0725671567. Carol tells me on the WhatsApp that she washes her washing machine once a month with a hot wash, a cup of vinegar, and half a cup of bicarb, and I do the same mix for my dishwasher once a week. That's very interesting. Okay, obviously, Angelo, nobody likes running these appliances empty, but the water consumption might, now might save you in the long term in terms of having to rewash loads of laundry due to marks from that grime. So, Carol, thanks very much for the feedback. Carol does it once a month for her washing machine and once a week for the dishwasher with a cup of vinegar and half a cup of bicarb. Right, this is a big question, Angela, and I don't know if you've got any personal experience with this one, but is there any advice, says a WhatsApp, for converting a loft or attic into a bedroom?
Yes. Okay. So it's quite an interesting and it's quite a long discussion because there are a number of things that you need to do. So first of all, there are companies out there that can do it for you. They'll come and inspect. You've got to look at your trusses and the design of your trusses first and foremost. That's the most important thing because it's going to need to carry weight. You're obviously going to look at the height. In other words, do you have enough height? Can you stand up?
Yeah.
Are you going to use it for a bedroom or are you going to use it for storage? So all these kind of things are important. You will have to look at possibly adding strength to your roof truss and connecting them so that they are more solid.
Okay.
If you are concerned, especially if you've got a very old house, and you know they normally have the very steep pitches, and those are great for rooms. Then you could use a company like A19, for example. These guys are roofing specialists in terms of the structural integrity, and they can give you an idea of whether you can or can't do, or what you would need to do to strengthen your roof. So there are a lot of things that one has to take into account, and therefore, if you are an engineer and you do have and you are comfortable with making that call, then you know you could lay down the flooring and sidewalling and cords for your roof, your room in the roof, as they call them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would suggest that a company gets called out to do it. You do not want an accident from your roof space down, because that could be very sore.
Okay, that's really important advice. Angelo, it's not just a case of throwing down some floorboards and hoping for the best. You've really got to make sure that structurally the building can take the extra weight that's going to go in there. So particularly when you think about all the furniture that'll be added in with a bed, etc., that's such important advice. So thank you very much for that. I think we can squeeze in one more voice note. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Pippa. I have a DIY question. I don't like the cupboard of my kitchen cupboards, and I would love to change them. Is there an easy way to do it? Is it realistically, is it, you know, get the professionals to do it, or is it something that one can do oneself?
Angelo, what's your response?
Well, there's lots you can do, actually. You could change the color. You know, that could be done by painting or by spray painting, just the doors. Mm-hmm. That can work. You can change the door handles. You could do a project, for example, antiquing it, or change the door handle?
You said change the handles, but change the paint color, apply an antique effect, okay. And then, I mean, if you really just hate the design of the door you've got, you don't have to replace the entire cupboard. Angelo, could you make up a new outer door to fit the shell you've got?
Yes, you can. Companies do that. The other thing that works really well, and it's very funky, is to go and buy some chalkboard paint that you can buy in a litre or half a litre, and paint your doorboards, your doors, and you can write all over them, and you can do all wonderful things with them. I did it to my house. I did that. I had it in black and I had it in red. It was quite funky, you know, quite out there, but it actually works, and you can write and you can clean on it. But you can do a myriad of things. There's lots of little projects like taking skirtings or beading, and you could bead around the door. You can antique it. There's so much you can do. It's a nice project once you've decided what you want to do and how much is involved. So painting type stuff you could do yourself, and it's actually very satisfying at the end of the day to stand back and go, wow, look what I did. And you've changed the whole look of the kitchen.
And I'm imagining what I would write on all those chalkboarded cupboards. Angelo, one would say, have you put your coffee cup in the dishwasher? The next one would say, have you unrolled the sleeve of your shirt before putting it in the laundry hamper? Did you put your plate away?
Don't invite your mates for a housewarming party with a whole wall that's painted in chalkboard paint, because the messages can be quite funny.
Sounds like that's spoken from experience. Angelo, thanks so much, as always, for being with us. We'll chat again next month.
Ciao, Pippa. Have a good one.
You
Bye,
too.
Everyone.
Take care. Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT Remedial Building Consultants.